How are you all?
It's been a while since I've spoken to you in this format, but it's nice to have the opportunity to talk to you this morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Daniel, part of the leadership team here, also married to Julie. Julie sends her love. She did actually phone me this morning and asked me to send her love. She phoned me not from like the bedroom. She is in New South Wales and is there for a couple of weeks, just really trying to focus on a PhD and without too much distractions, apparently. I'm one of them. Who knew? But apparently so. Anyway, my chance to speak to you this morning, and we're going to conclude a little mini-series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, what a great day for talking about that, particularly the topic, which is whether the gifts we are given by the Holy Spirit are only for us, as in us Christians, us here at CBBC, part of the church body, or whether we also get to use them outside of the church. What I would say is you probably already worked out by the fact we're doing the bags of love and the fact even from what Luke was saying that we do believe that gifts can be used outside of the church as well. So there you go. I can sit down now. The answer is yes, they can. But no, we are going to talk a little bit more about that. I'm just going to pray before we get going. Lord, we just thank you that nobody can outgive you. God, you loved the world so much that you gave, Lord, and that is the premise of our faith, the fact that you gave us Jesus. And we also know that when Jesus left, he said, I've got to go back to the Father so that I can send and give the Holy Spirit to us. And Lord, we thank you for the fact that you are such a giving God. Lord, we want to learn more about the gifts that you give us and how to use them and be responsible and wise and considerate and all of those things. So, Lord, I pray that you would empower the words I speak this morning. And, Lord, help us to go out of here this morning with maybe a new sense of what it means to be carriers of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your name. Amen. So, we do believe that the gifts can be used not just in church, during the week as well with the people that we maybe relate to, the rest of the time, our workplaces, our families, and such forth. But just before we get going, a quick recap of where we have been over the past 2 weeks. And I would say that if I am going to assume some knowledge this morning, I'm going to assume that you have been following along, and if you haven't, you see, this is the plug, if you haven't, I would very much suggest that you do, that you go back, they're available on our Facebook page, YouTube page, you can go back and you can listen to Julie 2 weeks ago and Stephen from last week. So we've been basing our series on 1 Corinthians 12. So if you want to get that out and have a look at that, I am going to put the specific scriptures. I'm not going to read out the whole passage today, but I am going to put up on the screen some specific scriptures. But if you want to, you can open up at 1 Corinthians 12. We are also Julie particularly referenced Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, where Paul, having written to all of the churches in Corinth, Rome, and Ephesus, and he spoke about a whole range of spiritual gifts. A quick aside here, I think that God gives gifts according to the need and according to the need of the church. So in that regard, I think the gifts are endless. There's endless possibility of the gifts that can give. But it's as we're outworking our faith, as we're connecting with each other, it's there where we say, God, we need the gift of this. I mean, the Bible talks about eagerly desiring gifts. And the reason we eagerly desire them should be because we desperately need them, not just because we want another one in our pocket. It's because, God, you've given us this task and we need this. And so, although there is a few different lists which we've referred to over the past couple of weeks. I think really the gifts are almost limitless with what God has able to give us in the area of gifts. I mean, there are some specific ones which are maybe talked about a little bit more, and we may reference some of those as we go along. So 2 weeks ago, Julie spoke about the context of the Spirit giving gifts being what? Our professor over here. Well, at least Stephen was listening. It's love. It's love. The basis is love. Out of a deep love for us, God gives the gifts so that we can love others better and demonstrate God's love and receive God's love. And last week, Stephen emphasized that we all have gifts. There is no ageism, sexism, or any other kind of ism when it comes to the distribution of the gifts. No one is more or less important. As we come into relationship with Jesus, we become part of his body, with him being the head and us collectively being a complete body. And we only become a complete body if we are all fulfilling our part using the spiritual gifts that each one of us has been given. So far, so good? Yep. Remember some of that for those of you who have been here? So let's have a look at the text that I want to talk about just now. Why are the spiritual gifts given? For what purpose? Let's have a look. Oh, next one. Oh, yes, there we go. So this is from the passage in 1 Corinthians 12, and it says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same gift is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. There you go. Why do we want to help each other? Because we love each other. Thank you. Yes, fairly obvious. And I would say, does anybody know what the next chapter is about? 1 Corinthians 13. You might know that, Chris. Is that going to be part of your wedding service coming up in December? It might be. It's often used in weddings. But the whole premise of the passage of 1 Corinthians 12 is actually as the starter to move into the greatest gift of all is love. So out of it all, it's the spiritual gift. I'm actually confirming what Julie spoke about. I know it's not that you need me to confirm what Julie. Oh, goodness me! If that would be very worrying if that was the case. If you needed to rely on me to confirm anything that Julie said, but there is a confirmation that it is really all about love. Also, there is another passage which Julie referred to, which is in Ephesians 4. And it says this, it says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So it's about building up, it's about equipping us, the body of Christ, to continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge that we will be mature in the Lord. It's about that maturity, about that relationship, it's about that unity out of love. That's what the gifts and the giving of the gifts is about. And equally, the third passage that Julie referred to in Romans 12, you'll actually see that there is a whole context of that is love and unity, both within the church, but also outside of the church, including loving one's enemies, which I think is a gift in itself if you're able to do that. Imagine the difference that would be making in, I don't know, in America just now, in Ukraine just now. Imagine if that was the basis of our negotiations and conversations, that the premise was loving our enemies. Now, to help me present the message this morning, I want to introduce you to today's prop. It's very exciting. My toothbrush. There you go. This is my toothbrush, sponsored by Colgate. No, by Braun. Today's message is sponsored by... No, it really isn't. But if you'd like to, you can. I'm open to negotiation. So bear with me on this. It may be a stretch for some to imagine, but this toothbrush represents a gift. Okay. Which gift, I will let you decide. Okay? I'm going to let it represent a spiritual gift. Hygiene, yes, the gift of hygiene. It could be a miracle for some of you. It might just be wisdom. It could be a few things. But so anyway, I'm not going to let that analogy go too far. But personally, I believe, and I say I believe here, so you can distinguish whether you believe it too. I'm not saying that God says when I say this. I'm saying this is what I understand and believe. So I'll let you work out whether you also believe the same thing. Every person ever created has been given a gift of some sort. Now, I'm saying a gift, not a spiritual gift at this stage, okay? That they have been given a gift of some sort. I also believe that some of the gifts are given out later, and they're given out as we're in relationship with Christ. So I think, yeah, we're going to have a little look at that later. So here is the gift of a toothbrush, and with it, I can clean my teeth. Yeah. And if I put a new head on it, you could clean yours too. You wouldn't want to... I did clean my teeth this morning, but, you know. But I can clean my teeth, all right? My tooth. It's a toothbrush rather than a teeth brush. Yes, I know. I've heard that joke too. Yeah. Actually, I heard another joke. I said, what's the difference between a toothbrush and a child? None of you know? Well, I don't want any of you working in children's church then. Anyway, okay. So, Julie's away, so you get the dad joke today. Or granddad joke. But anyway, this is my toothbrush. But this brush works really well, and I may use it every day. However, I found, after doing this for such a long time, you've got a button. You know, and when you use a button, it still does exactly the same job as it did before. But it does it one heck of a lot better when you know how to use it, doesn't it? You think? Oh, wow, I know. I should. It took me hours to think of this an analogy. If it is connected to a power source, then it is even more amazing, works an awful lot better. Now, okay, I think that's fairly easy for you to understand, or hopefully it is. But once I have learned that power makes it work better, am I going to use it like this on Sundays, but the rest of the week, use it like this? Am I? Well, that'd be crazy, wouldn't it? I know it works better doing it like that. I'm going to do that all the week, aren't I? So why would you switch off your spiritual gifts during the week, only using them on Sundays? So of course you're going to use them wherever you are, because otherwise it would be as crazy an idea. I mean, you have the Holy Spirit. Do you actually think you can switch the Holy Spirit off like that and not use your spiritual gifts when you're in your workplace, when you're in your family? If it's connected to the power source, you actually can't. Can you? So of course you're going to be able to use your gifts out into the workplace. So, if you haven't understood the analogy already, I'm going to be more explicit. I am suggesting that God gives everyone gifts, everybody, and I'm talking about the whole of creation gifts, Christian or not. However, when they are connected to the Holy Spirit, then those gifts make more sense. They work better. They're designed for, you know, just more effective. They're sensible. And so it's often you will see with people who, a lot of the gifts of hospitality, for argument's sake, that's one of the ones that's talked about. Often the gifts that we see on people are the same gifts that they had before they came to know Jesus. They're just supercharged. They're just, there's prayer going into it. There's an understanding. There's an excitement. There's an empowering of it, of a, like, also being able to maybe continue beyond, beyond the pale on things, because you have got the empowerment of the Holy Spirit behind you. So I think it works better, connected better. So I believe, I said that many of the gifts, I'm not talking all of the gifts, but many of the gifts that we are talking about, that Paul is talking about, is almost like supercharged gifts, that when we come to know the Lord, they're supercharged by being attached to the power source on there. I think, therefore, it is illogical to think that the gifts are only used when we're only around other church members. You know, maybe like, well, as we connect, it's like there's a Bluetooth thing that happens, and it, you know, that's what makes it go. That's not the case. It's the fact that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Everyone is given gifts, but just as a tool of some kind, a toothbrush, is just a tool until it gets connected to the source. When it gets connected to the source, it becomes a power tool. Okay, you with me still? So the gifts people are given only become spiritual gifts once we have them connected to the power source. I believe that many of the gifts that we are given are gifts that we have been given from the time, but they become spiritual gifts as we get to know Jesus, as we get to connect them to the power source. You can decide whether that's something that you believe too. There you go. On the other hand, I would suggest that some of the gifts we are given are only given once we're in relationship with Holy Spirit. For instance, miracles, tongues, perhaps prophecy. Although with that one, I believe that this can also be seen on occasions being used outside of Christians, that it's not just Christians that God uses. I mean, if God can use a donkey to speak, then maybe he can also use poets, songwriters, and others too. I mean, we are told that even the trees speak of God's glory. So why not? But if the gifts are primarily for the church body to grow in unity, that's primarily, as we were told from the passage in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Why would we use them outside of the church? If they're just on by default, is there actually a purpose, a specific purpose, as we go into the community? Because, as I say, like you have a toothbrush, it's on, but the purpose is to, believe it or not, to clean your teeth. But is there, as we take our spiritual gifts out, there's something we have, but is there something specific about us taking them into the community? We use them when we're out there because that's how we use them. But is there something specific that we are supposed to do with them? Is there a purpose for them being used in the community? There is a purpose, we've heard, of building up the body, of unity within the church, but what's the purpose of the gifts outside of the church? Oh, you want to know? I don't know. I'm just asking a question. You know, haven't you worked out yet? That's how I preach. You tell me the answers. Oh, that's a great point, Neville. That's awesome. Well, firstly, the reason we would use them outside of the church is, as I've said, how else are we going to use them? Why would we switch off from the power source? So if you have the gift of teaching and your gift is empowered by the Holy Spirit, why would you want to, or why would you be able to switch off the Holy Spirit when you come to do your job as a teacher? You wouldn't, would you? You'd want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you have the gift of hospitality, would you want to switch that off when your friends and family come round? No. Well, no, you don't want to do that. Even at Christmas, Neville, you do not want to do that. Personally, I think the best answer to why we would use the gifts outside of the church, and also to how we should use them, is to look at Jesus. Again, makes sense, doesn't it? Now, I'm going to make a point here, which I think is one of the most important points you're going to get this morning, and it's one that actually took me years to get my head around. So firstly, a question. How did Jesus perform his miracles and carry out his ministry? Was it because he was Jesus, the Son of God? I mean, we're told he has all authority, and at his name, every knee must bow. I mean, when he was tempted in the desert, didn't the devil come and say, you could do this if you wanted to? You know, you could do these things. And therefore, it was a temptation. So perhaps he could have done them, so was it when he performed the miracles, was he performing them because he was the Son of God? Because he was Jesus? It really was only a few years ago that I began to really fully understand that Jesus was not born with any superpower. And I have to say, I find it far easier, even today, to see Jesus as a divine being with all the power that comes with that, than Jesus the human. But have a look at this passage. In Philippians 2, 6 to 7, it says this, and I think a lot of you will know this well. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. This means that everything Jesus did, he didn't do in his own power, because he had given up his own power. Everything he did in the power of the Holy Spirit. rather than his own divine power. This means, and this is the reason why, everything that Jesus did, we have access to the same Holy Spirit with the same power. There is nothing that Jesus did out of his ability as God, which means we can identify with him even better. I think the danger is sometimes with Jesus, we can see him as the divine being. I think it's sometimes easier for us, particularly when we look at what happened after his death. We see, he's raised at the right hand of the Father, and that's what we say. We see Jesus ascended into glory, having defeated sin and power, but it's sometimes therefore harder for us then to identify with him in his humanity. But if he didn't, you would not be able to understand the fact that the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that he had access to, and that you have access to that same Spirit. So there is nothing that Jesus did that you are not able to do by accessing the same Spirit. It begins to get mind-blowing when you really work that out. And also sometimes it gets, wow, I really am supposed to live my life like Jesus, including the spiritual gifts that he was operating out of. That wasn't because he was the Son of God. That was because he'd learnt how to fully relate with the Holy Spirit, which is something that any of us are able to do as we come to know him. So, this is where I get to read John 17 again. I know. Forgive me. For I know not what I do. But it says here, I have given them the glory that you gave me. This is Jesus praying to the Father about his disciples and the people that would follow his disciples, which includes us. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. So that is already the unity that we've heard out of Corinthians and the Romans and the Ephesians, that unity is already there of what he's praying for. I have given them the glory you gave me. Now, I haven't got time to do it this morning, but I want to contend this morning that the glory is synonymous with the Holy Spirit. At the very, very least, I would say it encompasses the Holy Spirit. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity. Didn't we read that about until there's a completion of unity? Earlier, I'm sure we read that. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. In my suggestion that the glory that it's talking about here is the Holy Spirit, earlier on in the book of John, where, this was John 17, but earlier on in John 7, it says this. John says that on the last day, the climax of the festival where Jesus was at the time, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not entered into his glory. So I would contend that the glory that Jesus was speaking about is the Holy Spirit, or as I say, at the very least, encompasses the Holy Spirit. There is reasonable indication to assume that Jesus was given the Holy Spirit at his baptism, and that Jesus' ministry, which started then, was empowered fully by the Spirit. Then, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus died and was resurrected, went back to the right hand of the Father, at which time Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to empower humanity. Therefore, everything he did was to show us how we should live with the power of the Holy Spirit. You think of his interactions with the woman at the well. Was that by the Holy Spirit, or was that because of something, because he was the Son of God? You think of his conversations with the religious leaders, his interaction with the centurion, with his own family, with the crowds, or as one on one. All of it was showing us how to live in unity with God and be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live in unity with our fellow human. So looking at that passage in John 17 again, the reason that the Holy Spirit gives gifts and why Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit is to experience such love and unity that the world will know Jesus, that they will know that God sent Jesus, and know that we and the world are loved by God as much as he loves Jesus. That's what John 17 says, and it's all talking about the glory which he has given to us. That's the purpose of why we have been given the Holy Spirit, so that the world will know Jesus. That know, just by us operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, just in us loving each other and operating in those gifts and being unified and showing love and consideration, the world will know that God loves them. And they'll know that Jesus was sent by God, and that they will know that they are loved as much as he loves Jesus. That's the purpose of the gifts. The reason you have any gift is to build unity, is to build faith and love, and for us to grow a whole and functioning body that demonstrates God's kingdom in such a way that people outside of God's kingdom are convinced of everything about Jesus. So the only way that they will see that is surely if we use the gifts outside of the church, because otherwise how's it a demonstration to the world if we're not? If it's just something that we do in here, how's the world going to see and to know? Finally, if I haven't made it clear, then what I'm saying is whenever and wherever you are exercising your spiritual gifts, then that is absolutely fantastic, wherever. So if it's in church, if it's in your workplace, if it's anywhere, that is part of building the kingdom. That is part of demonstrating God's incredible love and mercy to us, his grace. You may not be able to always exercise them here or with other members, but you are able to exercise them at work and at home and elsewhere as well. It's no more or less important, although I must be honest, I can't help but occasionally be frustrated when I see on Facebook, some of you wonderful people doing incredible things that I look at. I never knew that about them. Playing instruments or sports or a poem that you've written or, I'm trying not to say a couple of the ones that I could say, but you'd know who you were. Playing a musical instrument, whatever it may be. I see on Facebook that you've got these gifts, and I didn't even know about them. So occasionally, I must admit to thinking, oh, I wish I'd known about that. But I would say, if you're using the gifts, that's the main thing. It's great that you are. Maybe you could talk and to share, and maybe we could explore together what that might be look like as part of the church. And because I do get, if you're a preschool teacher, the last thing you want to do is to come here on a Sunday and also be in the preschool. And I get that. Thank you for some of our accountants and, you know, such for thinking, you know, for those of you whose job it is during the week, but yet they also take on that gift for us as well. But I get that sometimes, you know, you don't want to also do that here. But I do believe that our gifts are for that the world is going to see by us expressing them and using them outside. The world is going to see who Jesus is. It's as simple as that. That's what John 17 is about. That's what the whole looking at the gifts are for, to build unity and to draw people to Jesus. That's really what the gifts are for. So of course we're going to use them outside of the church as well. So let me pray for you at this point. Lord, we thank you again for the fact that you give gifts to us. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, for sending us the Holy Spirit. And as I've said before, it amazes me that verse again in John where you actually say it's better that you should leave us. That really does blow my mind, that you feel it's better that you went, because if you went, then the Holy Spirit would be sent. Lord, I pray that we would, as we fall in love with you more and get to know you more, Lord, so we would see how important the Holy Spirit is to our lives here and now. How we would be eagerly desiring the gifts, yes, to use in our midst, but Lord, also as a way of demonstrating who you are to the world. And Lord, for those of us who aren't sure what our gifts are, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, your Holy Spirit guides us in truth. I pray that we would know the truth of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in operation. In your name, amen. Now, it is the end of the service, so I'm going to ask that you go and speak to somebody you've not spoken to before or for a while. I'll give you that one out. And, begin to practice what those gifts look like. The gift of encouragement. As Julie said, and as we've said, people often don't know they've got gifts. They think it's just, if you've got a gift, you think it's normality, don't you? Because you think everybody's does it. So maybe encourage somebody as well, nicely. So do go in peace. Go in peace to love and bless everyone that you meet this week. Amen.